Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And we're talking about a division rival this week. One of the best rivalries in sports, the 6-3 Packers head to Soldier Field, fresh off of a bye to take on the 4-5 Bears, who are reeling at this point, started 4-2, have lost three straight, fired their offensive coordinator. So we don't know what we're going to see when the Packers hit Chicago on Sunday, but Perry, we're going to talk about it at least.
We are going to talk about it. Rest assured, we will talk about it.
I don't know. This is one of those ones we talked about pre-show where it's like there's so much to say, but there's also not that much to say. Like, this is a historic rivalry. I live for this rivalry, being on the Wisconsin-Illinois border. Most of my friends, if they're not Packers fans, are Bears fans. But it's really hard to kind of call it a rivalry when it's been so one-sided. The Packers on a 10-game win streak against the Bears. Matt LaFleur has never lost to the Bears in his entire tenure with Green Bay. The dope sheet this week said the Packers have a plus 127 scoring differential during that 10-game span, plus 16 in turnover differential. They have 19 takeaways in 10 games, only given the ball up three times in those games, and they've allowed 20 or fewer points in 8 of their 10 victories. So, yikes.
Yeah, and unfortunately for the Bears, I do not see their skid stopping this week because they're getting a Packers team off of a pretty demoralizing loss against another division rival and having to sit on that loss for an extra week. So if Matt LaFleur and this coaching staff and the leaders in this locker room have done their jobs, which I am just going to assume that they have, this team is going to come into Soldier Field ready to go.
Yeah, and I mean, the Bears have the toughest remaining strength of schedule, so not going to get easier for them. This is their first division game all season, which is crazy that it's happening week 11. So they have to play the Packers twice, the Lions twice, and the Vikings twice, which arguably the best division in football. So just the odds really stacked against them. And we're going to dive into all of it, obviously, but we said it at the top of the show, Bears moved on from Shane Waldron, their offensive coordinator, promoted Thomas Brown, who is their passing game coordinator. He's the new OC there, was most recently with the Panthers as their offensive coordinator in 2023. Mm-hmm. And just really kind of a sputtering offense that doesn't seem like they have a ton of direction at this point. Caleb Williams is playing okay, but I think it's really hard for him to, you know, let loose when the offensive line is one of the worst in football. He's taken more sacks than any quarterback in the league. His wide receivers, I don't know if it's a scheme issue. We'll see maybe on Sunday if that opens up. But on paper, should have one of the better wide receiver rooms in the NFL, and has not transpired for that offense yet this season.
No, not at all. And like, you know, his one in DJ Moore, who should be the guy that he kind of leans on, if you will, they have not been on the same page. They have not been able to get rolling. Even when he targets him, even when Caleb targets DJ Moore a ton each game, it doesn't really mean anything for this offense. They've had no rhythm. They have not, like you said, been able to protect him, which obviously adds to the inability to have any rhythm. And their drives are just stalling. I'm sure the nail in the coffin a little bit for this team was the Hail Mary against Washington. And ever since then, they've looked like their offense at least has looked like they've completely given up. I don't know if it's given up on the coaching staff. I don't know if it's given up on Caleb. I hope it's not given up on Caleb because it's not really his fault. He's walked into a pretty bad situation and has had no help whatsoever. But they do not look like, quite frankly, a formidable opponent.
Yeah, I think it was 22 or 23 drives where this offense hasn't scored a touchdown. The last time they scored a touchdown was in the fourth quarter against that Commanders team. And then two straight games, they have failed to put up, you know, I think they've kicked 4 field goals and that's it. Last week, obviously, they lost 19-3 to the Patriots, another struggling team with a rookie quarterback. And yeah, 19-3, just the offense can't get things going. And I think what's so weird about this offense is that on third downs, they're 31st in the league. So barely converting their attempts, like 28.7%, but they're 8th in the red zone. So it's like, if they can sustain a drive and get down there, they're scoring points a significant amount of the time, but they can't get down there. And that's like the enigma of offense.
Yeah. What, I mean, I wonder how many red zone trips they've had, like if it's just a really small sample size.
They have had 21 trips, 13 touchdowns. Yeah. So what's that 21 over 9 games? Little over 2 a game.
It's obviously it's a stat worth mentioning and it's worth looking at, but I think I imagine given how few points they've been able to put up, especially in the last few weeks, that they can't be making it to the red zone quite often. And obviously that will be a key for this Packers defense is, you know, keeping them as far away as possible from the red zone. I hope we see a lot of their punter. That's that's what I'm hoping for. I do think it's interesting to have this coordinator switch right before the Packer game. I don't know how much I feel like it's going to do anything. Like if they had made a head coaching change, maybe I'd feel differently, because oftentimes you get that like energy boost from a team after a head coach and they come in and they want to like play for their interim head coach. That's not the case here. You're just basically promoting someone who's been in the room all season. Maybe he'll make some adjustments and updates based on concepts they're already running, but I don't know if the offense is going to look like astronomically different in 1 week because they decided to fire Shane Waldron and promote somebody from within.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, it's going to be kind of the same formula that we've seen where the Packers have had success earlier in the season. And unfortunately for Caleb Williams, it's attacking the O-line, and it's going to look a little different without Preston Smith. I'm curious to see kind of what the rotation looks like. We're expecting a lot more of Lucas Van Ness, obviously, possibly Aaron Mosby and Brenton Cox in there as well. But yeah, if they can get pressure, this is a really bad Bears offensive line. And they can rattle Williams. And we've seen he's got the legs to pick up first downs and keep plays alive. It's kind of what he was known for in college, was, you know, making the impossible possible. But if the Packers can contain him, they've got guys like Edge Cooper now, which certainly help. And I think it could be a really long day for him, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think with watching Caleb, that stands out to me is that even behind a really bad offensive line, he's holding the ball for so long. Mm-hmm. Like he just like can't pull the trigger. So I hope the Packers pass rush can capitalize on the amount of time that he's likely going to give them to get home, because he's not, you know, one of those quarterbacks who's like, you got to get there fast because he's going to get the ball out of his hands really quickly. That's not what's happening. And not only is their offensive line playing like subpar, they're also really banged up. Their left tackle, their left guard, and their right tackle are all battling injury. So they should be able to attack him, you know, from the edges. But I also hope, you know, the interior pass rush picks it up as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a good line to tee off against. And I think down the stretch here, not to overlook the Bears, but the Packers schedule gets really interesting. It's very average. They've got, I think it's like a 38-35 record of teams that they have yet to play coming out of the bye. They have really good teams, obviously, like the Lions and the Vikings. And then on the flip side of that, they have teams like the Dolphins and the Saints who are struggling. So a lot of mediocrity, I think, coming down the pike for the Packers and having to capitalize on those. Really good Thursday night football game this week, Commanders and Eagles. Two playoff teams at this point, obviously two playoff teams in the Packers division. So knowing they only have one AFC game left, you know, taking care of all these NFC games is going to get really important down the stretch. But if there's one thing that Matt LaFleur has been really good at, it's playing after the bye. And the dope sheet had it this week. The Packers are 28-11 in games coming after the bye. They were 7-5 in 2023. But 3-1 in 2022, 4-1 in 2021, 9-3 in 2020, and 5-1 in 2019. So if there's one thing that Matt LaFleur has proven to be really good at, it is setting his teams up for stretch runs after that bye.
Love that. Two things about that. One is, if you listen to Pack a Day, my bold prediction for this, the remainder of the season, was actually that the Packers are only going to lose one game the rest of the season. And it's not only just looking at the schedule and thinking if the Packers play up to their standard of football, I think they could go undefeated. I think the Lions are probably their biggest obstacle at this point in the remainder of the schedule, especially going to Ford Field. But you know, I think US Bank is also a really tough place to play, and they have to play the Vikings away. But to your point, like, historically, the Packers on a stretch run get really hot at the right time. We saw it last season, especially in 2023, and that should be the expectation coming out of this bye as well. And I do think the Bears being so broken right now, unfortunately, just not even just like, you know, there we see bad teams who play for each other still, right? Who get up every week and fight to the end. And those are the games we call trap games. Mm-hmm. I put in quotes if you're not watching the video version. This is not that Bears team. They do not look like they're playing for one another. They do not look like they're waking up in the morning ready to go. I mentioned earlier, this offense especially really looks like they've given up. So to start that aforementioned stretch run, I really think this is the perfect game for it. And I'm looking forward to it for sure. But the Packers also need to play up to their brand of football as well. There's things that they need to do.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the challenges, is because you never want to underestimate division games. The Bears are just, they've been the punching bag for so long. 10 straight losses, obviously. You have poor Caleb Williams coming in and saying that, like, you know, they're going to make a name in the division. And I think we thought it's possible. It still is possible, obviously. One season is not going to dictate his future in the league, but the way that the Lions and Vikings are playing, you know, I think we talked about the Bears being like a surprise wildcard team. And through the first six games of the season, it really felt like they could be. But at this point, you know, the brakes have kind of fallen off. And just seeing the way that, like you said, the Packers are playing, they haven't played their best football yet. And I'm not sure if she put this on Twitter as well, but Mina Kimes on Blue Sky did like an Ask Me Anything. And one of the things that somebody asked her was a dark horse for the Super Bowl, and she picked the Packers because she said that they're just not playing up to their potential yet, but their potential, the sky's the limit. Yeah. And I think this, unfortunately for the Bears, is a game where you kind of right the ship and you work out all the kinks and you set yourself up for a lot of success down the stretch run. It gives you, you know, like you said, they're coming out of a bye where they had to deal with a division loss and sit with that for an extra week. Now you come out, you know, fired up. You beat a division opponent on the road, and you set yourself up really nicely to kind of tackle the second half of the season.
Yeah, I agree. And I think too, the other point, right, is that Matt LaFleur's NFC North record is 22-8. So he has clearly a very high win percentage within his own division. And now obviously playing common opponents has its own challenges, right? We talk all the time about the pros and cons of seeing teams regularly. However, historically, and you mentioned it before, like, they do well after the bye, but Matt LaFleur also does really well in the division. And to have so many division opponents still upcoming, again, given his track record, given the way we think the Packers are going to play out of this bye, it could actually work to their advantage to be seeing these common opponents. You know, we saw similarly, and not to keep comparing it to the 2023 season, but, you know, they lost early to both of the division opponents that they've already lost to this season, and then came out with a vengeance against both of them again, right? So it's especially thinking about like the Vikings game. The Viking games last season, early in the season, was really, really hard to watch. They really struggled against them. And then they came back New Year's Eve and looked like a completely new team. So playing another team twice can have its advantages. And I think it will this season again, when we see this offense start to clean some things up. I do want to ask you, because you know, we should talk about the Bears defense. There's been so much talk about Jordan Love and his accuracy struggles and his turnover issues this season. Where are you standing after some time away from watching them, about after listening to his comments, especially after the last game, going into not just the Bears game, you know, against this defense, but just, I think, the remainder of the season?
I think it's been really hard to judge him fairly this entire season because he's been playing almost the entire season injured or recovering from injury. You know, he got hurt week one, And then he sat a couple games and then he came back for the Vikings game. And you could argue that he maybe should not have played that game and he just wasn't mobile enough and he wasn't able to step into his throws the way that you would expect him to. And then he gets shaken up again. And, you know, we're wondering if he's going to be able to play against the Lions. And he does play, but he looks banged up again. And I think that's, you know, been part of the challenge. And I know when you're a competitor, you want to play through all those things. And I think it's admirable as a QB1 that he wants to be out there. And I think he does give this team the best chance to win. I don't think I have long-term concerns about the issues because I think when he's healthy, we'll see a difference in some of that. But like, I do think, you know, the Lions pick six, I believe him when he said he didn't see him, you know, and yeah. There are yeah. some moments where it's like, boy, I really wish he would just throw the ball away, like chuck it far out of bounds instead of like that one he kind of tiptoed on the sidelines that almost got picked in the red zone later on in the game. But I think it's just that need to like make a play and keep your team in the game. And we've seen it from every quarterback. But, you know, the downside of that is that sometimes the other team capitalizes on the big play. You know, it swings from being a potential big play for you to a really big play for the other team. So that's kind of where I'm at. I think after the bye week, hopefully he comes back healthy and just gets to really kind of play the Jordan Love brand of football we saw from him the latter half of last season.
Yeah, I'm in lockstep with you. I don't know if I view it as a long-term issue. I trust that those will get cleaned up. He seemed really agitated with himself after the last game. So, I'm not terribly concerned. Now, I do think in this game, if you have a mistake like that, you just keep the Bears hanging around, and that's not what you want in a game like this. Like, you really want to take this and kind of run with it. The Bears defense is really healthy. They have their full secondary, which is not a bad secondary by any means. Like, obviously, we know Jalen Johnson. They have Daquan Brisker. Kevin Byard, Tyreek Stevenson, I mean, Kyler Gordon, like they've got guys. So you want to be protective and clean with the football and not, you know, loosey goosey with it. But I think that if he can just at least mitigate some of those, plays, I don't think the Packers offense will have issues moving the ball against this defense.
I agree. And I mean, I think this is a really good game for the Packers offense to kind of lean into its strengths. You know, we talked about Josh Jacobs and how he can like flip a game on its head. And we've seen him do it. Like every time the Packers seem like they need a spark on offense, it's Josh Jacobs that is able to do it. I really like Christian Watson getting more involved the last couple weeks. You know, that deep threat opportunity is so huge for the Packers. And it doesn't have to be deep threats, but, you know, that's kind of where we've seen Jordan take those shots. Romeo, Jaden, we've talked about it, right? Like they have weapons at every level. And I think this is where we see guys like Dontavian Wicks and Bo Melton just kind of calm themselves down maybe a little bit and like start to play their true brand of football. Do we know anything about Luke Musgrave when he might be cleared to come back?
I don't. They said this season, but I don't think I've seen him activated off IR yet. I was actually going to ask you about Marshawn Lloyd because I know that he's been practicing a little bit, and I don't know how much they're going to work him into the game plan if he even is ready to go this week. But I'm definitely curious to see how he factors in.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because we weren't sure what the running back room would look like, right? It was like, well, it's Josh Jacobs and Marshawn Lloyd and then probably A.J. Dillon. And then A.J. Dillon goes on season-ending IR. Manuel Wilson makes the roster. And all of a sudden, Chris Brooks now is getting like a ton of snaps as RB2 behind Josh Jacobs. So they have a really nice room and a really nice rotation when Marshawn Lloyd comes back. But it's also nice that they don't have to, you know, put too much on the rookie and they can just let him kind of come along with the rest of the room, give him a couple snaps a game because Josh Jacobs, you know, the rest of that unit, they're handling duties really well on the ground.
Yeah, they are. Is that your key to this game, being able to run the football effectively?
I don't know. I mean, I think that the Bears defense is good. They're surprisingly somehow first in the league in red zone defense, seventh and third downs. Like they're getting stops where they need to. That's weird. Opposing teams have only scored 6 touchdowns against the Bears defense all season. seems very surprising. But yeah, it's a solid defense. And I think probably, yeah, you open up some run lanes on the ground. And then I know we keep saying it, just a really clean game from the Packers would be really nice. You know, like if Jordan Love could play an interception free game, if he throws a pick, it's not like the sky is falling, but it would just be really nice to see like a holistic four quarters, complimentary football, special teams not making any miscues, you know, defense getting a couple turnovers, getting back to the defense that we saw the first half of the season. And So run the ball to open up some of the big shots on offense.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to second more touches for Christian Watson. I've been like shouting it from the rooftops and I'm going to continue because I think he does good things with the ball in his hands. And I don't think you just have to use him as a deep threat. So I'd like to see 6, 7, 8 touches or targets rather for Christian Watson, if that's even possible in an offense full of weapons. I guess that'll do it. I'm excited. I mean, as always, Bears Packers rivalry is fun. I'm happy to have the Packers back on my TV screen on a Sunday. Any final thoughts from you?
Well, we got to do score predictions here too.
Oh, we do. You're correct. Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, I think final thoughts is just don't look ahead from this one. It's a division game. Mm-hmm. The Bears are obviously kind of reeling right now, but they put up some numbers in the beginning of the season and they've looked really good in spurts, and granted some of their best games were against the Panthers and the Jags. So kind of hard to take that sample size and run with it. But I think any division game you really get up for. And if there's a game that the Bears could, you know, play kind of above their weight class, it would probably be a Packer game. So just if the Packers play clean football, they win this football game. But if they let the Bears hang around and give them the ball a couple too many times and make mistakes and, you know, just don't play the brand of football that we're used to seeing, then I think it gets kind of ugly. But that said, I think the Packers will come out of this one really angry. Like you said, it's a division game. They'll get up for it. They're always good after the bye. I don't know. I kind of feel like this one's going to be like 24-10. Like, I want to say it's going to be like 35-3, but I don't know how much the Packers are going to, you know, like run up the score in this one.
I mean, 10, only allowing 10 to the opposing offense, I'll take. I would like to see the Packers hit above 30. Like, I would love to see like a, you know, 31-13.
Yeah.
31-13. Yeah,
it feels good. Do you have any final thoughts on this one?
No, I think you did a great job.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the preview show. Make sure you enjoy it. It'll be Sunday Packers and Bears. Always a classic. Normally some really fun moments come out of those games. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast. We do have a blue sky now. That's cool. Dipping our toes into the blue sky waters. If you are on that social platform now instead, Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. You can find the show on YouTube. Please like and subscribe to the show if you don't already. Spotify, you can support the show if you love what we do. And everywhere you can listen to the audio format of the show as well. We'll be back probably on Monday to talk about hopefully a Packers win that gets them back into the good graces of Packers fans with the W. But enjoy the game. We'll talk about all of it afterwards. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.